Welcome to the podcast of Cornerstone Presbyterian Church, Franklin, North Carolina, for Sunday, March 22nd, 2020. Thanks for listening. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity again to experience you in worship. We thank you for this technology which makes it possible when we cannot meet together. We pray, Lord, that you would be pleased by your Spirit to work through this recording and recorded ministry to the end that it might bless those who hear and the one who discharges. All of this, we pray, for your name's honor and glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. For your listening and for your edification, our first hymn via piano solo today is a beloved one to us, The Old Rugged Cross. Till at last my trophies I lay down, I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange them someday for a crown. We cling to the cross of Christ and we cling to the cross that He appoints for us to bear. So here is The Old Rugged Cross. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege, and we do, to be before you this day. We thank you for all you are and all you do. We worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for who you are, for what you have done in Christ, what you are doing in our world today, and what you evermore shall do. You are infinitely praiseworthy, O God. We ask, O Lord, that you would forgive our sins. For we have not acted in a manner consistent with your greatness. We have not acted in a manner consistent with thy moral law and with thy gospel precepts given unto us. We have sinned in word and deed and thought and in motive. And we pray, Lord, by Thy almighty power, that Thou wilt forgive our sins. Thank You that if we be in Christ, our sin is placed upon Him, and He hath atoned for it, and His righteousness is imputed to us. Thank You for so glorious an exchange. Help us no longer walk in these misdeeds and other sins, but cause us to walk in newness of life. In particular, give us power and will to forgive those who have sinned against us. For such You teach, yea, You command in Your word. Lord, we give You thanks for all that You have done for us. We give You thanks for the early springtime and for the evidences of it in nature. We thank You for provision for our needs in uncertain times. We thank You for causing us to avert many a thing we would not wish to have strike our lives. For all of this, we are very, very grateful. You have put things into our hearts and minds now for which we are individually thankful. And as You bring those to our minds, we pray that You will bring forth from us that praise and thanks which is meet for us to deliver in this place. We also come praying for ourselves and for others along many lines. We pray for those who are sick today with coronavirus or some other illness or weakness or injury, praying that You, O great physician, will make well. We pray, Lord, for those who mourn either an acute loss this week or a chronic loss which has flared up acutely this day. Oh God, comfort the mourning. Lord, I pray that You would supply for the needy. I pray that You would lead Your covenant people in Christ into Your will for our lives, each and all. I pray for those who know not Christ, that they may come to know Him. I pray that for those who seek Christ, that they will find themselves found of Him. Lord, this day we plead for the spread of Your good news, that the indifferent will be moved to attention and interest, that the scoffer might see that this is reasonable and right, that the hardened would be softened, that the one who says, I have sinned so greatly that I cannot be forgiven, might have his view changed. Because Your blood can make the foulest clean and is availed for me and for all who will embrace Christ as Lord and Savior. Use this podcast, this virtual worship, O Lord, to that end, that people be brought into Your kingdom and that those already in will be strengthened in You. We thank You for this opportunity to pray, and we thank You for the remainder of the worship that we will have with You on this podcast. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, I am preaching in an almost empty room. And the reason, obviously, is the coronavirus pandemic continues and we must use careful techniques when we are dealing with one another, in particular social distancing. And for this reason, not to mention in many churches in our state, we fall under the executive order of our governor, groups larger than 100 may not meet until the end of the month, and that may be extended. We don't normally have that situation here at Cornerstone, but indeed a number of us do have some risk factors associated. And so for the glory of Christ and the good of our people. We've elected to stay home, and many have. But we are not anxious, and we are not panicky because of the good work of Christ. But many in our culture are. In fact, these grip our world. And occasionally they do tempt us, and too often they touch the redeemed of God in Christ wherever they may be. So we have today in God's Word, and it will be in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Famous, familiar passage to many of us. That first exhortation, yea, command, will be this: do not be anxious. But do not be anxious all by itself, though necessary, is not sufficient. We must replace this anxiety with something else. The something else is at the end of the passage. Let's hear the whole. The Holy Spirit has inspired Matthew to record the very words of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34. Let's hear our incarnate, risen, glorified, and soon coming Lord. He says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. May the Lord bless the reading of His holy word in this very place. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, once again we bow before You, this time asking that You will bless the reading and the preaching of Your word in this place, that, O Lord, those who hear and He who proclaims might be shaped by Your Spirit in increasing conformity to this word, that You may be glorified in each of Your persons, and that we might be blessed in the conformity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Like many of you, I have been watching how our culture is responding to the coronavirus pandemic. And among other things, I notice a fair amount of worry. In fact, it would be dishonest to say there is none, and it would be callous to ignore it. The worries appear to me to be of two main varieties. They appear to me to be, first, epidemiological. That is, they're concerned with the disease itself and with the pandemic. How far will this spread? How bad will the symptoms be? Will I or any of my loved ones be affected by this? That's one set of concerns. The second set of concerns are economic. Will I be able to survive or to thrive in these uncertain material, financial, economic times? We dealt with the first of these largely last week when we dealt with Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with supplication, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. From this passage today, Matthew 6, 25 to 34, we talk about the second, the economic uncertainty and volatility. Many of us are asking, what shall we eat? What shall we wear? Or something like that. Where's the rent going to come from? Where's the car payment going to come from? Things like that. But Jesus here tells us, do not be anxious. Following hard on the heels of Matthew 6, 24, you cannot serve God and money. Therefore, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink. Be not anxious about your life and your body, nor be anxious about the future generation. We're told at the end of the passage, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient this day is the trouble, or the badness, or the difficulty, or the struggle. Sufficient to this day. A veteran saint now home in glory, it was reputed to me, once said, and perhaps you have heard this as well, tomorrow is gone. Yesterday is gone. And tomorrow is not here yet. Therefore, today is the best day of all. It's the only one which we get to live. And we must stay in the day. We have several reasons given in the text why not to be anxious. First of them is this. Because our life or soul, the Greek word will admit of either translation, because our life and our body, that is who we are, outer man and inner man, is so much more what we eat or wear. And if God has taken care of the so much more, will He not take care of the lesser, our physical need? Most of this passage is an argument, after all, from the lesser to the greater. If He handles the greater, will He not almost more handle the lesser? That's the first reason. We'll unpack that a little more in the others as we go through them. The second reason not to be anxious is this one. Because worry adds nothing to us and often diminishes us. Worry adds nothing to us and often diminishes us. Jesus says here, verse 27, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Or by an alternate translation of the Greek, can add a single cubit to his stature? Which of us, by worry, can add to our lives? We simply cannot. Oh, but we can certainly diminish. We can be not at our best because of the physical manifestations of the inner, spiritual, mental, psychological ferment in us because of all this worry. We testify, moreover, to ourselves before the Lord and often in the face of others when worried that our faith or the level of our faith is not where it ought to be. It's not at the level at which it ought to be. So it adds nothing to us, this worry, and it often diminishes us. Third, and this is what the passage talks mostly about, is this, because the Lord meets the need of His lowlier creatures, and quite well, therefore He will meet ours, who are the acme of His creation, made in His image, created to worship and to praise Him. Consider, Jesus says, first, the birds of the air. We consider them. Sometimes we don't pay attention to them. We're so busy thinking of something else. They can easily enough be overlooked. Consider the birds for a minute. Jesus tells us rightly that they gather not, they store not, yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. And then He asks this rhetorical question, which the answer is assumed in the positive, are we not of much more value than they? Makes it explicit when He's sending the disciples out two by two in Matthew 10 to discharge their mission to the lost house of Israel. He says this when they are before men, hostile men, to give account of what they are doing and whose they are. He says this to them, fear not, you are more value than many sparrows. Indeed, as the hymn writer says, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. More than that, he watches me for good and not for ill. He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? So consider the birds and how God's exquisite care extends to these creatures. Small, perhaps overlooked if we're not careful, who do not gather as we try to do, who do not store as we try to do, and yet the Lord feeds them. The implication is clear. He will feed us as well. But Jesus moves on to another image. Consider the lilies of the field, the grass, the wildflower. It's beautiful if we'll pay attention to look. Notice, Jesus says, it toils not. It does not labor. It does not spin. It does not work in the textile industry. And yet, our Heavenly Father adorns it to such a degree that not even Solomon, in all his glory, was arrayed like this lily of the field. Solomon had quite a glory. His yearly retinue was something incredible. 666 talents of gold. We're talking about tons a year. The value of Solomon's annual income boggles the imagination. And he could put himself in royal raiment that would compel attention, splendor that could not help but be noticed. And Jesus says that the lily of the field is more adorned than Solomon in all that glory. This is all the more remarkable when we know that Jesus says here that today it is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, ostensibly for fuel, for the fire. If He would clothe such a creation of His creation, this lily of the field, if He would do it thus, which is here today and gone tomorrow, will He not much more clothe you and me? And then He puts the stinger on it right here in the Greek, oligopistoi. My wooden translation from the Greek was little faiths, a hyphenated word, little faiths. And that's what He's calling lovingly, to be sure. That's what He's calling His hearers that day on the Sermon on the Mount. Oh, you of little faith, will He not much more clothe you? Oh, may the Lord increase our faith, may increase my faith, because sometimes I am an oligopistos. I have lesser faith than I should. Increase it, Lord. They cried out for it, these apostles did in Luke 17. Increase our faith. May He do it. So we have seen we are to be not anxious because our life and our body is so much more than what we eat or wear. We have seen because worry adds nothing to our frame and may detract from it. We are not to worry. We have seen that we are not to worry because the Lord meets the need of His lowlier creatures. Now we come to a fourth reason. Because the Lord knows our need even before we ask of Him. Not only does the Lord know, He is prepared to meet it. Sometimes there's a difference of opinion between what I think I need and what the Lord knows I need. And again, if there's a difference of opinion, who is wrong? It's never the Lord. That's impossible. It must be, well, I. He knows our need, and He will supply our need. It didn't say He'd supply our wants, but He will supply our need. Paul reaffirms this in Holy Writ to the Philippian Christian households when he says, "And my God shall supply your every need according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus." He will do it. He didn't say He'd supply our wants. He didn't say He'd supply our maybe hopings. But He'll supply our needs. And He's not stingy on this. He'll take care of it. And often to spare. So I said something about we needed to put something in place of all this anxiety in an anxious time, in anxious people. We need to put something in it. Here's the something. It's in verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek ye first, above all things, the kingdom of God, His righteous reign in every sphere, the expansion of the constituency through evangelism and missions and other things, the confirmation of the subjects inside via all sorts of discipleship ministries, Christian education, accountability groups, whatever it may be, to confirm those already in public worship, among other things. Let's seek also first His righteousness along with it, above all. Let us seek to be in Christ by faith. It's not a place to be outside when life, this life, is over. We want to be inside. And we want to be inside positionally by faith in Jesus. Through faith, we are justified. Legally, forensically, we are justified. We are declared not guilty before a holy God because Jesus, who truly not guilty, becomes guilty in our place and bears our guilt to dark Calvary, atoning for our sin. So through faith, we are positionally righteous in Christ. Not faith in just something general or faith that good things will happen, but faith in the definite atoning work of Christ Jesus. That, and only that, makes us positionally righteous. That's one sense of seeking His righteousness. Here's a second sense, and it's the one you probably thought of already. Practically, by Spirit-empowered obedience to the moral law and to gospel precept. There is this error out there that says, okay, I believe, I am in Christ, my sins are forgiven, I can go out and live any way I want. I can even live like the devil if I want. And that's not true. Because when we are brought into the family of God, we are given a new nature. We are given the Holy Spirit indwelling us, who envieth jealously for us, who will move in us that our desires change, that we hate, leave, increasingly forsake our sins and increasingly cling to His righteousness. Our minds are changed so that we enjoy doing things and being things that are pleasing to Him. That is what it is to walk with God. Before the Lord regenerated me, before He made me alive with Christ, there were things I might have enjoyed that did displease the Lord, but once He brought me to Himself, those things did not please me anymore. Oh, they may have held me for a time, and they may nettle me even today in times and in ways. But there's a new center in my life, and if you be in Christ, there's a new center in yours. He brings you increasingly to hate and forsake those things, and increasingly to pursue Him and His ways. And as we do these things, as we seek Him, His kingdom, His righteousness, first, our physical needs will be added to us as well. It's like I talk to my piano pupils often about obtaining speed or velocity playing the piano. Speed is not a formal caller. It does not come at the front door. Speed is like your best friend. It comes to the back door. Comes often unannounced. What do? You do enough careful, intentional repetitions of your work at a slow enough speed that you can handle, and one day you find the speed has come and you don't know how it came. The same thing is true with these physical needs as we don't look at them so much as we look at pursuing the Lord. As we look at that, we find our needs come in often unawares. That's good news, because we live in certainly economic uncertainty, if you'll allow me that. We have current economic woes of unknown duration. We don't know how long that's going to happen. And they're of unknown intensity. We don't know how bad it might get. Consider certain supply chain issues. This week I've noticed at times, various times, that it's been hard to get fresh meats at the grocery store, ground beef, chicken breast, and stuff like that. I have noticed all week it's been very hard to get disinfectant supplies.
In particular, things like the Clorox wipe or the disinfectant wipe. Very hard to get this week in this locality. I have even noticed that for a major portion this week, it's been very difficult to get bath tissue. This I have noticed too, and so have you, especially here in the counties of the far southwest in the North Carolina mountains. Not only do we have supply chain issues, we also have increasing unemployment and underemployment because we're having layoffs from industries because they're slowing down. We're having temporary layoff because of temporary business closure. We're having end of work because some businesses and firms are closing their doors forever. And this seems to be happening at a rate that is at least nettlesome and perhaps alarming. We're also noticing, or at least for much of the week, we noticed the devaluation of the stock market and the devaluation of stock indexed retirement accounts. I'm trying not to look at mine. Maybe you feel the same way about yours, but if you find yourself that sliver of the economy nearing retirement, depending on a stock indexed retirement, such as a 401k, a 403b, a Roth IRA, or similar, it's a worrisome time. You may wonder if you ever will get the opportunity to retire. And these are real concerns. I understand these things. The Lord understands these things infinitely better. But for such a time as this, continue to pray with thanksgiving and receive the Lord's precious peace. Remember that our God is able to supply your every need according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. So while doing that, continue in that vein, seek first the kingdom of God, His righteous reign in all things, which includes your highest and best in Christ Jesus and the highest and best in Christ in the lives of others. This is part of what it means to seek first the kingdom of God. It also means to have and to encourage faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ as the instrumental means of entrance into that kingdom. We read in 1 John 5:12, John 3:36, He who hath the Son hath life. He who hath not the Son doth not have life. And John 3:36, I believe, continues, But the wrath of God abideth on him. Need not be such a lamentable state. Believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved. Paul and Silas told the Philippian jailer in Acts 16:31, Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, thou and thine house. Seek first the kingdom of God through belief and encouraging the same from others. And seek Him and His reign also via the means of grace, prayer, and scripture intake, reading the Bible, hearing it read and expounded. And when we get the chance once again, which I pray will be soon, via worship attendance and fellowship together. God hath appointed these means among other means whereby we might fortify our souls. And in participating in these and in partaking of these, we seek Him. We comply with this text by the Lord's powerful grace and all for His glory. So, on this second week of being unable to meet because of the coronavirus pandemic, I bless you, saying this to you, may God, by His Spirit, fill your souls to overflowing with Himself and with His good things. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that You will bring this Word into our souls this day, cement it onto our hearts, tablets therein, that long after this hour and day is done, what we've heard today from Your Word, read and expounded, will be doing us much good. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As you reflect on this, I hope that this next hymn via piano solo will help you. God will take care of you. Through all the day, through all or the way, He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Let's conclude the whole with this prayer and this word. Lord, I pray this day that all who are here would be strengthened in your Son, would be called by your Spirit to faith in Him and deepening faith in Him. Pray again that as we seek you first, you will supply our needs, sometimes in dramatic and glorious ways, and at other times, in ways we hardly noticed, but lo, the provision is there. May we have joy and peace in this, and may you have glory in this. And now, Lord, I'm ministering in your Son's name. Bless your people wherever they are. It's your blessing to them. I offer it in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.